If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on RadioMD.com. Stay well. We're a passionate show, and this time we have a passionate guest, assuming we can get him. We rarely have, in fact, in, I think, 15 years of guests, probably 15 times 45 shows a year, whatever that is. It's close to 750 guests. Only one has failed to hook us on the right time, or we not gotten in touch with, and because we get their cell phone numbers, etc. I'm sorry? Oh, good. And so I said it would be rare that we didn't get the guest, but the guest is here. So Dr. I don't know if he's a doctor, actually. It is Russell Friedman. Russell, thank you for coming on. He and his coworkers at the Grief Recovery Center have written a book called The Grief Recovery Handbook for Pet Loss. It is published by Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R. Excuse me. I went out and did a long walk today, and I must have gotten the allergy bug because I'm having trouble not sneezing occasionally and rubbing my eyes. But in any case, that's what some people do when they come in contact with pets. Let me read you a little bit about the introduction to this, because I think it got me aware of something that I was aware of only from watching how my parents handled when my dog died, and then watching what's happened with others who I know who have dogs and cats. The death of pets affects people all over the world. In the United States alone, it is estimated there are more than 14 million dog and cat deaths each year. Death of a pet is an obvious heartbreaking loss. Pet loss can occur in many ways, including pets that run away or surrender due to financial reasons. These losses combined account for nearly 40 million new grievers each year. Given the dimensions of the problem, you think there would be a tremendous number of resources available for those who have lost a beloved pet. But you'd be wrong. As you may have discovered, there's very little effective guidance for grieving pet owners. So, Russell Friedman, James Cole, and John W. James, or is it Cole James? I think it is Cole James, actually. I think Cole is his first name. Cole James and John W. James of the Grief Recovery Institute wrote a book called The Grief Recovery Handbook for Pet Loss, which really goes into both how to do it and how to get through it if you're a pet owner, but also how to handle it if you're not a pet owner and can't understand why the grief is so great. So, Russell, thank you very much for coming on. The book, again, is entitled The Grief Recovery Handbook for Pet Loss.
My pleasure. A pleasure to join you and to, you know, maybe shed a little helpful light for all your listeners on, for themselves and, as you indicated, for their friends and family who've had a loss and the dimension of which some people don't even understand how much these pet owners are affected by grief, and maybe today we, in the short time, we can give them some helpful ways to listen better and talk better, so they will be more helpful to their family or friends than accidentally hurtful.
Let me tell you that we have my wife and I don't have pets anymore. Because in fact we travel so much and no one would be home to take care of them. But the one of our neighbors does, and totally has a schedule that's around the pets. And in fact, my wife often says that if there is an afterlife, she wants to come back as one of the dogs of Lisa, who is the pet owner, because she treats them so well. but I am sure that and they have three dogs, if you will, and when One of them is looking like they're going to die. They actually have the oldest one train the new one, if you will, or get another dog and train it and do a real process of this. But in the book, it says replacement isn't really a usual thing.
Well, a lot of people do it, but they don't do it correctly or for the right reasons. Replace the loss with the death of a pet is as absurd as replace the loss with the death of a spouse. If your spouse dies, you don't start dating tomorrow. You don't start dating next week. You have to go through a series of actions to grieve and complete your relationship to the person who died, so that if and when you choose to start dating again and becoming part of a couple again, that other person can be uniquely themselves and not a replacement for the person who died. Well, everything I say is ditto for the death of a pet. Every pet, as I'm sure you know from just from life, Dr. Michael, that every pet animal is unique. They have their own personality, their own style, and you therefore have a unique relationship with every pet you have, whether you have several at the same time or, you know, have them over a period of time. And so what we must grieve and complete is our unique relationship with the pet who died, which will then allow us to establish a new and unique relationship with the next pet, rather than having them have to be like the other one. Can you imagine if you get divorced or if you get widowed, if you have to have your new spouse be equal and the same as your former spouse? First of all, she or he wouldn't stay with you, because that's a demand that makes no sense. Well, why would we do to our animals what we won't do to our people, or we shouldn't? So replace the loss doesn't work. A lot of people try to replace it in advance, as you were saying, by getting a new pet, but that doesn't mean that your heart's not broken when the older pet dies. And you may rob yourself of a unique opportunity to grieve that pet by replacing it, because it distracts you with a lot of action with a puppy and you have to do stuff. But the truth is, when your heart is broken, you must attend to it directly and correctly first. Then you can think about getting another pet.
Let's talk about directly and correctly. And I'm going to talk about something that we just got an email from a guy who says, I deal with a pet loss by a lot of vodka. So obviously he's drowning in his sorrows.
Yes.
Tell me what the usual way of dealing with a dog or cat loss, because they usually are part of the family, I would think. In most households that have a dog or cat.
In most households, not only the part of the family, but Dr. Michael, in a lot of families, couples who for whatever reason weren't able to have children or didn't choose to have them, for many of them, the pet, the dogs and cats in particular, become surrogate children. Now, that sounds pejorative, but it's not. Many human beings have a need to fulfill the kind of idea of being a parent. That's a very societal, cultural, you know, anthropological thing in our personal systems. So when people, and an awful lot of people who have dogs or cats, will refer to themselves as the mommy or daddy of the dog or cat. And I don't find anything wrong with that. So when that pet dies, a pet who is perceived as a part of the family, as possibly a surrogate child. But more important than that, the most unconditional relationship that most of us ever feel, and this is not to diminish or dismiss our human relationships, our relationships with our animals have a degree and kind of unconditionality different than any other kind of relationship. When I get home, my dog Baxter, a Hungarian Vizsla, is so excited, you'd think his tail's going to waggle off his body. I mean, he is so excited to see me. In fact, I have a favorite prayer, and the prayer is, Lord, please let me be half the man my dog thinks I am, you know. I also tease my wife, Alice. I say, honey, just one day when I come home, would you please waggle a little bit when I get home? She says, fat chance. No chance at all. But what I think everybody listening knows that.
We'll come back. Well, we're going to continue this, and just when we come back in just a few seconds on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You want to focus, You need to focus. You need Focus Nutritional Energy from Action Energy. Focus makes work easy because it helps you stay on topic and focus your mind and energy to get the job done right. With its special blend of green tea, coffee beans, ginseng, caffeine, B12, and other key vitamins and minerals, this energy shot is just what's needed to keep you focused, stay alert and sharp, and make work easy. Now that I like. Check out the complete line of Action Energy Nutritional Energy Shots available at selected retail stores. Or go to ActionEnergyAE.com and check out Focus. Go to ActionEnergyAE.com for more information. Action Energy is the proud sponsor of Drs. Oz and Roy's and articles and health tips on Radio MD.
Great party, huh, guys?
Yeah, this is so great.
I do say so myself. Hey, did you know that birthday parties actually help build confidence in kids?
Yeah, I did know that.
Did you know that giving kids less sugar before bedtime helps them sleep better?
Right, of course.
Yeah, I knew that. Did you know that strollers have the right of way on sidewalks?
Oh yeah, I knew that.
Yeah, that's true. Did you know that friendly kids statistically have more friends?
Everyone knows that.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, it's pretty obvious.
Yeah, so obvious.
Hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
I didn't know that.
Think I knew that.
No, you didn't.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike Royce, and we're talking on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Russell Friedman, the first author of the Grief Recovery Handbook for Pet Loss. If you have a pet, this is a wonderful book. If you don't have a pet but know someone who does, and you wonder what they're going through, if at all they could potentially lose their animals, this is a tremendous, if you will, book to give them, to give yourself, to read through, to learn from. And we're getting a snapshot of this from Russell today. And we were just talking about we know the stages of human grief and know that it takes a fair length of time, 2 years, to get through it. What about pet loss? Is it any place near the same? What is it, the same stages? What happens?
Oh, you've opened up a real Pandora's box. So as politely as I can say this, there are no stages of grief. There never have been. There never will be. We don't agree with them about people or about animals. The stages that Elizabeth Kubler-Ross originally defined had nothing to do with grief. They were the stages we would allegedly go through if we were told we had a terminal illness. They were the stages of a dying person, not the stage of anything to do with those of us who've experienced the death of someone else or a divorce or any of the loss. So grief is not a function of time. The myth that time heals all wounds is exactly that, a myth. Time can't heal your broken heart any more than time could fix a flat tire. It requires action to fix the tire. You either call the auto club and have them change it, or you dig out the jack and change it. But until you do, you don't get that car back on the road. The parallel or metaphor is this. An emotionally broken heart is remarkably like a flat tire. The get up and go has got up and went. The ability to participate fully in life is limited. And until you take action, it not only doesn't get better, Dr. Michael, it gets worse. I have personally talked to 100 8,000 grieving people over the last 28 years. I talk to like 20 people a day, all year long. And the vast majority of them over the years, there were many, many pet owners, but the vast majority were widows and widowers whose spouse of 40 or 50 years had died. And a year or two after their spouse died, they called me, a stranger, on an 800 number because they weren't doing well. They weren't calling me to tell me how happy they were. And so when we would talk a while, I would eventually say, I guess you realize by now they lied to us. The time doesn't heal your broken heart. And do you know, Dr. Michael, 98% of them, without any more prompting than that, said, yeah, and it seems like it's getting worse. Because the reason they're calling me a year or two later is that no one will listen to them. No one could guide them. Remember, you started this show perfectly by saying, while there are 40 million new pet grievers every year in the U.S., resources for dealing effectively with it are limited. And the limitation is everyone keeps telling you, well, don't feel bad. He's in a better place. Don't feel bad. It was only a dog. By the way, the first chapter of this book, the Grief Recovery Handbook for Pet Loss, is called Don't Feel Bad, It Was Only a ... where you put dog, cat, horse, whatever. And on that first page of the book, it asks this horrible question. If your mother died and someone said, don't feel bad, it was only a woman, you'd want to kill them, and it would probably be justifiable homicide. Yet when the pet you love dies, people, you're told it was only a dog. And yet you and I talked earlier, the degree to which a pet represents someone's heart, their goodness, their love, their ability to feel connected on this planet, allow them to go out and do all the things they do. So the dismissal of our feelings with the idea it was only a dog is devastating, and it explains why so many grieving pet owners isolate themselves, because within a few days everyone's saying, oh, you'll be over it soon, time will heal you, you know, you can get a new dog, replace the loss. And after a few days, the griever says, every time I say something, I feel judged, I feel hurt. So they stop talking, and that isn't good for them. So when people read this book on behalf of themselves or on behalf of, like you were talking, friends and family, they will learn a lot of what to say and not say, which will make them more valuable to their friends. And you don't have to be a therapist or a doctor or a life coach. You just have to be a human being. This is very human. And even if you've never had a pet die, you have had losses in your life. And all you have to be able to do is kind of touch your own chest to go, oh my gosh, how heartbreaking for you. And if you say that to a grieving pet owner, they will feel heard and acknowledged. And you know what, Dr. Michael, that's the biggest gift you can give someone, the gift of being heard. I can help them, but you can hear them.
Well, that goes with, in other words, when we grieve for humans, we get together. We have wakes. We have groups that get together and talk to those that are grieving, that is, be around. And I've often thought, and maybe I need to have you on to talk about human loss, but at least it seems that when you look at the data on aging after death, it takes about 2 years to not age from that in general. And that may be because we heal it via talking to others and we get over it that way. And yes, there are people on either side, but you have much more experience with this with humans as well as with pets. I mean, you do a human center, and one of the comments I read in the book was that, in fact, most pet owners won't go to the sessions of grieving with humans because they're afraid of being not taken seriously.
Or, yeah, being judged. And absolutely, by the way, our first book, which has sold 700,000 copies, is the Grief Recovery Handbook. And it is the basic text for dealing with all grief, death, divorce, and all other losses. So I direct people there. And I couldn't agree with you more about the absence of places to go and rituals to have when the pet dies. So one of our solutions, it's just in place now. We have written a program that goes with that book, and our certified grief recovery specialists throughout America will be delivering a 6-week program for grieving pet owners called the Grief Recovery Method Pet Loss Support and Recovery Group. It's not really a support group. It's a recovery book based on taking the actions. And that's starting up now. So, and everybody who gets the book can take the actions and not have to be so isolated, as you say. Also, there's a chapter in the book written by a dear friend of ours named Derek Cook, who owns the largest pet cemetery in America. He owns one in New Jersey and one in Pennsylvania. And he writes so compassionately and so emotionally about the need for those kind of rituals that you're talking about that are missing for pets.
Yes, and the interesting thing is how many parents try and hide it from, and I didn't see this in the book, but it happened in my case.
It's there.
When how many parents try and hide it from their college, their away at college kids or away children, yep, when they die? How long does it how often is that common?
That's very common. And the other end of the scale, when the little kids, when the goldfish dies or the hamster, the parents will flush it down the toilet because the parents at either end of the age spectrum don't know how to deal with this.
The book is called The Grief Recovery Handbook for Pet Loss. Wonderful book.
Happy Family Solution for Picky Eaters? Happy Tot Love My Veggies Pouches. Each pouch contains one full serving of nutritious organic veggies and delivers essential nutrients to help nourish growing toddlers' minds and bodies. Get peace of mind knowing your children are getting a full serving of vegetables in three delicious flavor combinations. Love My Veggies pouches are available exclusively at Target. For more info, visit HappyFamilyBrands.com.
This is Meryl Streep. Over the years, I have played some characters you could call controlling, but the truth is, there's so much in life we can't control. But here's something we can: colorectal cancer. It affects men and women, and it's the second leading cancer killer in the U.S., which is astounding, considering it's almost entirely preventable. Here's how. Most colon cancers start as polyps, and screening helps find polyps so they can be removed before they even turn into cancer. Screening also finds this cancer early, when treatment works best. For me, screening was simple and quick. It was no big deal, except for the huge sense of relief you feel afterwards. There are several tests that you can choose from. If you're 50 or older, you should talk to your doctor. Decide which one's right for you. Take control. Do everything you can to prevent colon cancer. Screening saves lives. It could really save your life. For more information, call 1-800-CDC-INFO.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.